Hello and welcome. It's hour number four, the fourth and final hour of the Maller Podcast, a football hour. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers taking it on the chin against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We examine not only the game itself, but also we parse the words of Aaron Rodgers, who was selling positivity that this Green Bay team needed a good wake-up call. And they got that at the hands of the Buccaneers. Do we buy what Aaron Rodgers is selling? We take a closer look here in hour number four. It's coming your way right now with a whole lot more as well. Here it is. Some stinky cheese. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border and beyond, as we bloviate the overnight hours away into the early morning hours on the vast Fox Sports Radio network, emanating live from inside your head, also known as the Geico FSR studios. And we begin anew this hour in another high-profile matchup in the NFL, which did not live up to the billing. If you look at the marquee there, did not live up to the billing on the marquee. Ronald Jones, keeping up with the Joneses, had 113 yards. He scored two touchdowns as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rallied. They were down at the end of the first quarter 10-0, and they end up humiliating the Green Bay Packers 38-10. The final, a beat-down situation in this game. So Tampa improves to 4-2 on the season. The Tom Brady express train back on the tracks. Green Bay losing for the first time. So the Packers, who were coming off the bye week, dropped to 4-1. The much anticipated, much hyped quarterback matchup, only the third meeting between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, was a dud. The game, as far as the quarterback play, was a dud. Tom Brady, another mediocre performance by Tom Brady, yet the Buccaneers finding ways to win games here. Tom Brady had two touchdowns, just 166 yards per pass, 166 yards passing, and he averaged 6.1 yards per attempt. Now remember, average is 7. So Brady was way below average on that. And Aaron Rodgers was not only a quarterback, he was atrocious is what he was in this game. A couple of ghastly interceptions. While Green Bay had the lead, in fact, he had not thrown Aaron Rodgers an interception in several years while the Packers had the lead. And he gave all of that away and then some. The number, the statistic, the last time, you go back to October 18th, 2016, Aaron Rodgers had thrown one interception in 4 years while his team had the lead, when he was playing with the lead. And then on Sunday, he threw two interceptions with the lead in the very first half of the game. Now, following the beatdown, Aaron Rodgers had a whole lot to say, and some of it we will dissect here. Rodgers commenting, saying that the Green Bay Packers did not apparently huddle properly.
Yeah, I got a good pressure plan, and we didn't do a great job of all getting on the same page. I think it was more a product of, we just did not get in and out of the huddle very energetically. We had a lot of, up against the clocks, play calls and snaps. So we got to do a better job. Just the urgency in and out of the huddle, I think that kind of put us up against some stuff, made the communication a little more difficult.
All right. So if they had huddled better, they would have won the game. Is that what Rodgers is saying? What the hell is he smoking? All right, here's more from Aaron Rodgers again commenting, and he went to the standard bag o' cliches here about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
We just need to take a good look at the way that sometimes our practice habits, a lot of times, we talk about practice preparation equals game reality. That's something that Matt's talked about since the first day he got here. And I don't think our week of practice was that great. Offensively, I don't feel like we had a good rhythm. We went outside. It was windy. It was colder. And I don't think we practiced our best this week and obviously didn't play our best tonight.
All right, so there's There's Rodgers. Now, there was more that he said. This is the money part of the quote. He said, I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call this season. Rodgers also said, in addition to saying that they needed to huddle more energetically, Rodgers went on to say, because things had been so good. So I think we needed a kick in the ass a little bit. So let us discuss the question. You heard some very bizarre comments from Aaron Rodgers post-game. What do you make? Specifically, the wake-up call line. So I've got Kansas, Coach Speak, and Mona Lisa. And we will combine all these things together. Now, to lead off with, we all know the way this works in sports. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. And early on in this game, the Packers were the windshield. By the early part of the second quarter, they were the bug. And for the rest of the game, they were the bug. Aaron Rodgers trying to spin and craft a positive out of a very negative performance. Like this is a blessing in disguise. I do not agree with that. We do not agree with that. The check engine light popped up on the dashboard in the second quarter. Now, it was very unlikely that Green Bay was going to win every single game. They were going to have a stink bomb somewhere along the way. But the way they performed here, it's like the Wizard of Oz. We're not in Kansas anymore, right? That was a teeth-grinding type of performance in the second, third quarter. Second in particular. The game just got away from him in the second quarter, and it was like rat-a-tat-tat. And if you watched the Packers play last season, one of the reasons that we were critical of Green Bay coming into this year was the fact that when they played the better teams of last year, they ended up getting pushed around, and it appeared this was a carbon copy. Now, I don't even know how good the Buccaneers are. The jury is still out on Tampa Bay, but Green Bay, the way they performed, my God. A year ago, remember the Packers got just smoked. They were charbroiled against the upper echelon team, specifically the 49ers who got to the Super Bowl last year. But then Green Bay would take the hammer and put the whammy on all the bad teams that they would be playing, and they ended up winning a bunch of games. Even those games, they didn't win by a wide margin. And Aaron Rodgers regurgitating similar comments that he has made in the past. If we went to the Wayback Machine, to the archive, the audio archive vault here at Fox Sports Radio, we would find an almost verbatim comment from Aaron Rodgers. Not the part of the huddle energetically comment, but I'm talking about the fact that we needed a wake-up call. We need a little bit of a wake-up call. I remember the loss to the 49ers last season. Rodgers said something very similar. So with this particular loss, the Green Bay Packers go all the way from undefeated on top of the world. They're 4-1. Now they're a half game behind the Bears, who beat Carolina and Chicago. Holy Nick Foles, Batman. The Chicago Bears are in the top spot in the NFC North at this very moment. Rodgers said his two interception game was an anomaly, not the beginning of a trend. He also said that after the game, which is absolutely true because the tomato cans are lined up for Aaron Rodgers. If he goes out there and stinks it up against the Houston Texans, that game's in Houston next week, weekend, and then the Minnesota Vikings, who are tied for the second worst record in football at 1-5, then we can revisit this conversation. Now, furthermore, so Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur, he responded to some of the comments that Aaron Rodgers made. We played the one about practice. Not a game, not a game. We talked about practice. And that comment in particular, and of course, Matt LaFleur shook his head in agreement. He said, our practice this week was not up to our standard. The guys have developed the first year and a half. Well, that's what happened today. You practice like crap, you go out and play like crap. Now, that's, of course, after the fact coach speak. Did you hear in the lead up to this game anyone from Green Bay say, we really haven't had a good week of practice. I don't think we're going to play all that well. No. And also, isn't that an indictment of Matt LaFleur and his coaching? Like, Green Bay was the rested team. I know Chicago had played on a Thursday night, but Green Bay coming off the bye week, if the Packers were having a bad practice or a couple of bad practices, maybe I'm wrong on this, but isn't it the coach's job, Matt LaFleur, to get that rectified, to wake his team up there? The Packers led this game 10-0 after the first quarter. They dominated the stat sheet early on in the game. Now, you would think, using common sense, which is not common, that if you practice like crap, which is what the coach LaFleur said, if you practice like crap all week, then you would come out and you would not be ready to play the game. At the very beginning of the game, you would fall behind, you would struggle from jump street. It's not what happened here at all. As we said, Green Bay led this game 10-0. They were the superior team. They were the team that was putting the pressure on Tampa Bay. So how did they start like gangbusters if they had a bunch of bad practices? Or is that just after-the-fact excuse-making? For a team that didn't practice well, you wouldn't have known it the way they started that particular game. Yeah, they came out and they played great. Then from the second quarter on, it was a domination situation in favor of the other side, which tells you there's no correlation, however you want to phrase it. And Aaron Rodgers' mistakes were a large part of that splintering. Rodgers, who had been Mr. Perfect for Green Bay, right? I'm perfect. I'm Aaron Rodgers. He tosses the pick six. He had another interception in the second quarter, and there was another one that should have been, could have been, would have been picked off, but was dropped. So at least I counted three. Should have been three interceptions. He ended up with two. The Buccaneers, off those two interceptions, scored off that miscue. Of course, the pick six you get a score off of, and they scored after the other one as well. So Tampa Bay, they have the NFL's second-ranked defense. They had that coming in, and they lived up to that hype. They caused havoc starting in the second quarter, and Rodgers spent a lot of time stuck in traffic. He was stuck in gridlock. The Tampa Bay defense had 12 quarterback hits. They had four sacks in this game. It was a disheartening effort from the Cheeseheads, and to add injury to insult, they also lost a couple of players to injury. We'll find out how long they're going to be out later when the injury report comes out in the week. But the last thing here. So from the Tampa Bay side of things, it is all smiles and giggles, right? After weeks of undisciplined football, we were goofing on Bruce Arians behind these microphones in the last couple of weeks because the Buccaneers played like they had never really practiced together the way they performed there. And they put it all together. That is an understatement. The most penalized team in the NFL coming in, Bruce Arians' Tampa Bay Buccaneers, got the last laugh. This was a Mona Lisa performance. It was an oil painting. The Buccaneers had no penalties. They were not flagged for any accepted penalties throughout the game. Now, I'm sure they held somewhere along the way, and there were some other penalties that were not called, but no penalties against the Buccaneers on the final stat sheet. There were no turnovers, and Tom Brady was not sacked a single time. Not a single time. A perfect 3-for-3. That happens only, that's only happened one other time for any NFL team since 1972. That you've played a game with no penalties, no turnovers, and zero sacks. And Bruce Arians happened to be an assistant coach with the Colts. They did it against the Cleveland Browns, of course. And that was back in 1999. Also, they had a stat on the Fox broadcast that this is only the second game in Buccaneer history where they had gone the entire game without a penalty. So if they can only bottle that performance, put it in a bottle, and put it in a time capsule and bring it back. Of course, we know you can't do that, but those are some of the ingredients that the Patriots, Tom Brady's old team, used to win all those games. And you know, don't beat yourself, right? Just wait for the other team to implode and you're in good shape and all that. And you start peeking ahead, and the Buccaneers getting back on track and the overreaction machine. The Buccaneers 4-2. They got another big game, another primetime game coming up on Sunday night. They play the Las Vegas Raiders. And they still have a bunch of games against lightweights, though. The Buccaneers, you got to play the Giants, Atlanta twice in the division. You've got the Lions. The Vikings are a lightweight. There's a couple of big games still for the Buccaneers that you look at as a loss waiting to happen. Playing the Saints, team they already lost to. You'd say that Raider game this coming weekend, and then also Kansas City down the line. Other than that, all those games are winnable. and they will be favored, the Buccaneers, in the vast majority of those games the rest of the way. All right, here's the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? It is all fair game here at 877-99 on Fox. As we take your phone calls, the World Series matchup is set. The Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays. The Dodgers, a minus 200 favorite at one of the books I was looking at. Tampa Bay plus 160 in the World Series. So if you're not a degenerate gambler, like, what does that mean in layman's terms? What does a minus 200 mean in layman's terms? That means that the implied odds are the Dodgers have a better than 65% chance of winning the World Series based on the minus 200 odds. It gets started on Tuesday night, game one, and the people at baseball have decided, and we knew this a while back, but they will not play on Thursday. So the playoffs up until now have been played every single game, you know, every day, don't miss a day, you know, got to get these things over with. But the World Series, they're going to play Tuesday, Wednesday, take Thursday off so we can all watch Thursday night NFL, and then they'll come back and play Friday, Saturday. They are going to play on Sunday, but they would not play on Monday. They would not play on Monday, and the World Series, if it gets to a Game 6, would be on Tuesday. So the latest this will go is October 28th, unless they have to postpone some games, which we hope does not happen, obviously. We'll see what the future holds. All right, straight ahead for us. We'll take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox. Just a little bit rusty. Just a wee bit rusty. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Maller 2020, and you can be heard in the democracy of the Ben Maller Show. We encourage and welcome the voice of the people. That would be you, following the voice of this show on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our technical producer. He plays all the music and most funny sound bites of the Ben Maller Show. His first name is Roberto. His last name is Flores. You can follow him at Raider_Rob24.
Hovart.
Yeah, just right. One R. Just one R.
Hovart.
Horvat.
Hovat.
And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
So I went to pick up the mail, and I got prison mail, Eddie. We got prison mail. Big shout out
lucky
to
bastard.
Charles. Listen, Charles is a big fan of the show, and he listens. He says, hey, calm down. How dare you? Beggars can't be choosers. I'll take anybody who wants to listen to this show. We got the police. We got criminals. We got everybody that's a fan of the show. And he said he appreciated me getting this via the Pony Express. And I do thank you, Charles. I'm glad you're listening. He says he's at a medium / maximum security unit. I don't know what that means, but there you go.
Did you get a package from Aussie Momentum?
No, I got Doc Mike sent me something here. It says inspected, positively no goat parts.
What about that big box that had all the stuff written on it?
Oh, that was the one from, what's his name? Moving Man Matt.
Oh, is that who it was from?
Yeah. Wasn't that much stuff in it. And then, oh yeah, there's a credit card Gordon. There's some mail here from credit card Gordon. And he
says,
did
he send you a credit card?
I don't know. I haven't even opened it here. Hold on a second. Want me to open it right now?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second. This thing, by the way,
because at one point he did send a credit card to your old producer.
That's how he became, yeah, Miranda, my...
For those who don't know.
Yeah, he became credit card Gordon because he wanted her to buy cigarettes because their smokes are cheaper in the States than they are with the tax in Canada. All right, let me see here. This is from Gordy in Ottawa. Oh. Look at this. Okay. There's a box of matches, it appears here. Oh, no, it's an empty box of matches. That's exciting. Oh, boy. This is great. There's an empty box of matches. There is a patch that says Ontario Hydro on it. And it says, P.S., see if you can sneak this bill through accounts payable. And then he sent, this is quite the hodgepodge here. Oh, there's apparently a bill here. From August that he said, you want any of this, Eddie? I can leave this for you next time I'm in the office. I can leave this for you.
No, thanks. I've got plenty of useless mail up there. I noticed that all of the Andy Furman mail that I thought he was not sending me anymore, it's just all in a bunch of different piles upstairs.
I am concerned. I'm worried because I had Furball on the podcast over the weekend, so I'm
How'd
worried
that go?
Well, he was great. Andy was wonderful. I thought it was one of the better ones we've done, and he told some amazing stories when he was a promoter and some of the crazy, goofy stuff he did at the horse track. But, yeah, I'm worried I'm going to get on his mail list now. So this is the first time ever I've been sent an empty box of matches. And the patch actually looks kind of cool. Here we go. It says, Dear Ben, I am so grateful that Justin finally unclenched this his special place and gave me your mailing address. He says this was sent back in August. He wrote the time down on this. It's I guess there's a copy for each of us of the letter there, so I'll have to leave this in your box there. And here we go. Here's one for you, Eddie. There's some hockey cards here. There's a Ed Belfour hockey card. There's a he's wearing the Blackhawks uniform. There's a Percy LaFleur, Ottawa hockey card.
I'm not familiar with his work.
Matt LaFleur.
Bernie Jeffrion.
Oh, Boom Boom.
Of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. Credited with the inventing of the slap shot, I believe.
Boy, this is Gordy, man. He spent a lot of time on this. What's the patch? The patch is actually not a bad-looking patch. I don't know what it's for, though. What is Ontario Hydro? Do you know what that is, Eddie?
I can look for you.
Okay. I don't know. I really don't have time to read all this stuff. And he's talking about taking pills here and okay. All right. I don't have time for this right now. Let's go to the phones and let's say hello to who do we have here? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's go now to the birthday boy. He's in Brooklyn, the Maller Militia. Let me tell you, when one of our guys has a birthday, the Maller Militia steps up. Big props to Anthony in Anaheim and also a super secret person I cannot reveal. Cake and a card. Cake and a card.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Let's go now to Brooklyn.
Happy birthday, you old man.
We say hello to Marcel in Brooklyn. Hello, Marcel.
Hey, top of the morning. Thank you for that intro from the birthday man himself. 27 years young.
Oh my God, Marcel,
that's
you are
that's you, Marcel.
You are so old now, Marcel. When you turn your life ends at 27, right, Eddie? Isn't it over at 27? Yeah.
Yes, the 27 years in the making. The team win for my football Giants after they defeated the Washington football team 20-19. Congrats.
Hey, Marcel, how dumb is it to have a team called the football club or football team? How dumb is that, right? I mean, it's kind of silly, right?
It's just the Washington football team after the Redskins boycotted.
No, I know, but it's kind of dumb, right? It's really stupid.
Dumb.
Yes.
Get over it.
That's right. That's right. See that, Eddie? He's in agreement. Now he's 27. Now he's in agreement with
Marcel, you. How was the cake?
It was great. Thank you, Anthony in Anaheim, for sending the cake and the card, too.
I don't know if he sent everything, but he sent some
kind,
of
what
it.
What kind of cake was it? What kind of cake was it?
Well, this is from... Oh, I'm going to show you the listeners what I got.
A chocolate cake.
Vanilla. Was it white cake? Was it frosting?
Chocolate cake.
Chocolate.
With it.
Oh, chocolate nice. Cake. Very okay. Nice.
And now it's a new dawn. A new day.
Automatic.
My post-birthday style. So, Maller Militia, let's get into it. With our food picks of the morning because of my birthday and starting with you, Ben.
I'm going to go cake. I think you had cake for your birthday.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with cake.
Same match.
All right. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, I think it's chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake. Interesting.
Three times.
Right. All right. Go ahead. This game's changed a lot over the last couple of weeks here when one of our callers gave us the great tell. All right. Go ahead there.
Pastel de chocolate. Chocolate cake.
All right. Roberto's
Four
going
times.
With chocolate cake. Koopaloo.
Well, you guys are all wrong. He actually had a French onion steak risotto with Parmesan and Asiago.
Damn.
Okay, here we go. Big reveal, big reveal. What did Marcel have for birthday food?
You guys, because of the four of you, except for Coop de Loop, it will be cake.
Ah! Yeah! Look at that. Without it, the cake benefactor, whoever that was, setting the cake, you would have eaten oodles and noodles for your birthday yet again. So you had some cake. That's a good thing there. Way to go. All right. Very nice.
You better get ready for my player of the morning coming right up. But first, Eddie, my man, got your sports overnight while you are slept, including 6 weeks of the NFL. Take it away.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
I have some breaking news. My friend Andrea says, happy Libra birthday. May planets align for a very abundant year ahead from the sports sorceress. Andrea, wow. Thank you very much.
Wow, breaking news from Marcel. Did you see, Marcel, that an asteroid could hit Earth the day before the election? How about that?
Exactly.
It's the size of a refrigerator. That's what they say. It's about the size of a refrigerator. You imagine your refrigerator flying down from the heavens? Boy, that would be something.
Oh, yeah. And now, it is 36 minutes past the hour. My player of the morning goes to...
Here we go. I'm going Ron Rivera.
Nope. It is Cody Bellinger of your Dodgers.
Wow!
Yeah!
Oh, no!
Martin's 23rd pitch, Bellinger, with a fly ball to right field. Cody Bellinger has just given the Dodgers a 4-3 lead.
Yes, indeed it is.
The great Charlie Steiner on the call on AM 570 Dodger Radio in L.A. All right, I got to go. Thank you, Marcel. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Ben. I'll see you back here on Wednesday.
All right, there he
goes. Don't share your cake with Uncle Dynamite. It's all yours.
No. Whoever sent the cake, thank you, because otherwise
he'd
awesome.
Be... Good job, everybody.
Yeah, sent the card, make him feel good on his birthday. I mean, we're his little radio family here, but that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Good job by the Maller Militia stepping up to help him out. Let's go back to the phones. Sean the Hood Guy in Southern California. Hello, Sean the Hood Guy.
What up, Big Ben? What's going on?
Hey, your Pittsburgh Steelers.
How about those Steelers? Woo-hoo. Hey, number one, baby. But you know what? So I'm not going to bust my arm and pat myself on the back just yet because we got some more games to be played, man. So we can celebrate this right now, but got some big games coming up, man, against the Titans that kind of got us out the way last year. The playoffs, they got that Peterbilt truck running that ball back there, so they got to find a way to get this guy out the game. The Ravens, that's the game I'm really wanting because, you know, that's a rival game. That's like the, Sugar Ray and Tommy the Hitman Hearn fight. So, you know, I'm waiting on that. Dallas Cowboys, I can't stand Cowboy fans. I like to just whoop on them just on GP. But Big Ben, I called to tell you that, you know, I do kind of believe in the conspiracy theories, though, with this chemtrail stuff, man. It ain't coming from Art Bell. It came from George Norrie, you know?
No, I heard Art Bell before George Norrie.
Yeah,
the OG.
I caught the end of Art Bell, but when he handed the keys over to George Norrie, that's when I really started listening. But
well, here's the thing. Here's my position on chemtrails. There's obviously, when you look at planes fly, there's something that they leave behind. But is it actually a government conspiracy? Is it some kind of calculated thing? I'm skeptical.
But, you know, when you see them planes flying by, then they going straight up in the air, going across. They not leaving the town. You know, they spraying that stuff in the air. Then when you see it, it's like just sticking in the air. Remember, you used to see, when you was a kid, you used to always see them planes writing stuff in the sky. You'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. But now you just see these planes just streaking across the sky, just, you know, leaving lines. What are you leaving lines for? And then you come out later on. You got all this like wax or some kind of
tree. For those that are tuning in saying, what the hell is going on? Because if you missed it, there was a story we talked about earlier in the show. Aaron Rodgers is apparently a chemtrail conspiracy guy. His former teammate Seneca Wallace said as much on one of the NFL pregame shows yesterday, that Rodgers thinks that there's something, some funny business going on with those chemtrails. And you agree with him, Sean the Hood Guy.
Yeah,
you agree
with
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Because, you know, the government, they can't tell us everything, Ben, because they don't want America to live in fear. you know, when this pandemic first broke out.
No, I understand. I understand, like, the argument against aliens, right? Like, they can't tell you there's alien life out there because people will lose their mind and then all that. But
didn't they kind of do that, though?
Yeah, they kind of did that. The Pentagon let something out. You know, they were talking about, like, they had something out there. They showed the little thing, that it was a plane or something. But they just don't want everybody to live in fear. They want everybody to live comfortable. Because when this pandemic first broke out, everybody lived in fear. You see how they did the grocery stores. So, you know, that's, you know how this goes, man. Because all this pandemic stuff, this is airborne. They're not telling us this, but it's airborne because you can't find a can of Lysol in the store nowhere. So what are you washing your hands for?
I don't know. All right, Big Ben. Thank you, buddy. There's Sean Hood. You a chemtrail guy, Eddie? You think that there's some kind of government conspiracy here that they're poisoning the masses there with the planes?
No, I hate conspiracy theories.
I don't hate conspiracy theories. I want to be on the record. I like a good conspiracy theory, but I don't believe all of them. I don't believe most of them. I don't believe that one. I'm not buying theories.
Are great for a laugh.
No, I mean, some of them turn out to be, every once in a while, they turn out to be true. They're not all bogus and all that.
Like the landing on the moon, was that Warner Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was that. Wasn't that in the high desert? They filmed it in the high desert.
Yeah.
In Southern California.
Jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I understand. I mean, there's some of these. I remember we during the Kyrie Irving thing when he was with the Celtics and he said the Earth was flat or whatever, and then I had the Hollow Earth guys that still send me email.
That's a good one.
The hobbits are living in the middle of the planet.
Somebody actually died trying to prove that one, right? That guy that used to lock himself up or shoot up in his own homemade rocket.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, and also there's supposedly one of the other conspiracies is there's like at the North Pole, there's an entrance in the middle of the planet or something like that, right? Is it the North or South Pole? I forget. And you're not allowed to go to the very top of the planet. There's like military there. I don't know. All right. Who knows? What if it turns out all of this stuff is true? What if we're the ones that look like donkeys and it's all true? Anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show. Why don't we just take calls the rest of the way? I see some legendary callers there. 877-99 on Fox. If you would like to jump in, we'll get to Rusty as well, but not Rusty Nails. We'll get to that and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Only a few rare birds are able to listen to all 4 hours of the Ben Maller Show live overnight, but thanks to podcasting, you have no excuse to miss a second of our unorthodox chatter. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes and give us 5 stars. It's quick, painless, and a noise management. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
If the postseason started today, the New England Patriots would not be in the postseason. They lost to the Broncos over the weekend. Have a losing record. You don't normally make the playoffs with a losing record. Although Seattle, remember, they were the worst team ever to make the playoffs. They were 7-9 back in the day and made the postseason. I saw comments from Cam Newton after his horrific performance for the Patriots. He was sacked 4 times, intercepted twice, and the Patriots managed to lose a game where the other team did not score a touchdown. The Broncos at home, and Cam out in the coronavirus protocol and all that. He was asymptomatic. He had the virus, but he didn't have any symptoms. And he said the time off showed, he says. He's blaming the rust of not being able to practice. And Bill Belichick, who did his typical mumble comments after the game and talked and really didn't really say anything. He did say, we need more time together. We need to practice together. We need to execute and do everything better, which is a bit of an understatement. The Patriots at 2-3, and they have a losing record. First time that's happened after 5 games in a very, very long time. Go back many, many, many years since that has happened. All right, let's go to the phones, and we will say hello to Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Let's say hello to Dick in Dayton. Hello, Dick in Dayton.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be a Brown, but not a Cleveland Brown, because, woo-wee, boy, did they stink. What happened there, Dick?
I don't know, Ben. It was pretty ugly. Pretty ugly, buddy.
Did you watch the game?
No, I know. I saw the highlights. I was really shocked that they got beat that bad. It sort of was bad on, you know, CBS Sports. I mean, I just hope that you regroup the troops. And what worries me, they got the Bengals and the Raiders coming up. I don't know, Ben. I'm kind of worried a little bit.
Are you back off the bandwagon now, Dick, after the Browns had won those games? Now they're back to reality?
Yeah, this is important because if they lose to the Bengals, it's going to be – and, well, of course, Baker Mayfield was out, but a lot of fans were kind of upset. But, you know, you just got to regroup the troops and hope that they can come better, you know?
What were you doing? Were you working on Sunday?
Yeah, I work every Sunday.
Every Sunday. So I wanted to tell you something real quick.
The front end, we had the meeting, and I got a nice little it was a little certificate.
Yeah.
And I got a little a note from Carla and Shane.
From Carla.
They thanked me for you know, the number one
sure.
I guess in the district of being the loader there.
Who? Well, congratulate Dick and Dayton, the number one loader.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Dick.
Never heard of him.
What is required to be the loader? What do you have to be?
You help people. You load up their cars. You get the carts. And you work other areas of the store, which I've been doing.
Look at you. You're like the employee of the year at Lowe's. You're the king of the Lowe's in Beaver Creek, Ohio. You own it. You dominated Dick and Dayton. All right. I got to go. Thank you, buddy, though. I appreciate that. The great Dick and Dayton.
I always suspected he was a great loader.
Well, he does look like that, Eddie, if you, his appearance. Let's say hello to the Mad Clown, who is up next. Hello, Mad Clown in Texas.
Buenos dias, Maller Militia. Happy birthday, Eddie Garcia. That's right.
Racist.
What I had for dinner last night was a bowl of Cody F.M. Bellinger hitting a home run, taking my Dodgers to the World Series. Ben, guess what? This curse no longer will happen because we will win it. It's our year, Ben. You know it. Nothing's stopping us. 2020,
well,
Dodgers in six.
I know what would stop them would be the Tampa Bay Rays if they don't win the World Series, but I don't think the Rays are cheating. I have no evidence of the Rays cheating like the Astros, so I'm excited. Well, another Mad Clown Monday. Another Mad Clown Monday with the Mad Clown checking in. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that World Series this week. That's going to be fun.
Got a murder. Got to go.